remember that he was in fact other member of the community join us in the group. I don't think we have the luxury of enough time presentation. After that, there will be no presentation.
Yeah, to my left, not left in politics, just left in
right. Okay, you just press your... No, you don't have to stand up, Mama.
You just press your what name?
Your button for everything table.
Is it red?
Yes, mine is not red. Broken, but I know where it is. Okay.
Thank you. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Kilam Kaliti. I'm coming from the Eastern Cape Department of Health. I am assistant manager of the Regional Health and Safety. So basically, my job is to see to the implementation of the Regional Health and Safety Act. And as such, the S-Minus Health program is also part of my proposition.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Alan Wild. I'm the senior manager for the Department of Health in the Eastern Cape. I'm responsible for primary health care. I'm representing the Superintendent General, Mr. Boyer, at this meeting. And I bring greetings from the Eastern Cape, your sister province. I would not come here without Ms. Khalifa because she, as you will hear with the presentation, she's got it at her fingertips. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is James McCarthy. I'm the former president of the National Union of Mine Workers and the chief executive of the NEMA.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Kurt Arsenal, and I am the manager of Mine Worker Benefits for the NEMA.
Human.
Yeah,
Good morning, my name is Mukesh Ranson. I'm legal advisor for Parliament and to this committee.
My name is Eric Lucas, member of the ad hoc committee.
Well, my name is Mogani Mukondi. I'm a member of this committee.
Welcome, honorable member. Grab a seat and introduce yourself. That's why we get baptismal by fire when you are late.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Nombula Frida Matidev, member of this committee.
Thank you very much, members and our visitors. Just by way of the background, the committee was formed through a motion in Parliament which came as a result of various presentations that were made by ex-mine workers to various members of Parliament, including the President's office. And because of that, a motion was moved in Parliament that a committee of this nature be established. I don't want to say to investigate, to assess the validity of the complaints and to extent and the extent to which these complaints were addressed, by who, and whether those entities that addressed those problems addressed them adequately or not. The committee's brief went further, suggesting that whoever
can contribute towards giving Parliament an idea of how to resolve this complex problem, would be invited to this committee to make a presentation. It is in that context that we have received and interacted with presentations from various stakeholders. And you are here today following suit to those presentations so that you may shed light as to how far can we go. I don't think that's Parliament today. Not even Nancy will be. So it's testing how far we can go in resolving this problem. We are not going to resolve it. All we are going to do as this committee is to recommend to Parliament how this matter should be resolved and who should carry the case in resolving this matter and what stakeholders should be assisting with what information. As we interacted with stakeholders, it emerged that certain stakeholders needed to be invited so that they could make a presentation to us. That is why your names or names of your stakeholders came about. Without taking much time, on the basis of that background, we need to invite Deba to make a presentation. I am sure the secretary to this committee has explained to members or to stakeholders what is required. But from Deba, we will require Deva is known to be a recruiting agent or a recruiting agent for mine. They will just tell us how involved are they in the process that leads to mine workers claiming that they have benefits due to them. That they never received or that they never got. It might happen that Deba, as a recruiting agent, has nothing to offer so far as those benefits are concerned, but there is information that might assist us from Deba as to how the beneficiaries can be assisted in so far as the benefits that they claim is concerned. So, so that is the background of this committee and the background to presentations that have been made and presentations that are supposed to be made here. So, without further ado, I will give this opportunity to Deva so that they can make their presentation. It's a relaxed interaction, I must say. It's a relaxed interaction, no reason to panic. We are just sharing information. There will be situations where we would want to dig into information. To ask probing questions that should not be translated as being, what is this, we will not be grilling stakeholders in the actual sense. We just want to solicit information. that would assist the committee to make a recommendation to Parliament. Not later than the 31st of the month, that is going to start tomorrow. Thank you very much, Dr. Senio.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member.
If I could just ask the member that has just come in to introduce himself before you put anything off.
My name is Pandilani Afolobo. I'm a member of this ad hoc committee.
If you will know other people as we carry on. Thank you very much. Continue to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. Even though you said that you wouldn't want to bring the stakeholders, I think, in fairness, this is an institution which you needed to bring this because this institution was established 105 years ago by the mining houses. The mining houses who wouldn't want to compete about recruiting cheap labor from African neighboring states and the homelands of South Africa. During those days, this institution used to have about 300 offices all over Southern Africa and in homelands or rural areas of South Africa. It was primarily to recruit cheap black labor to the mining industry. Until early 90s, when the then president of Chamber of Mines, Bobby Godsell, suggested to the Chamber of Mines that SEBA needed to be an independent entity from the Chamber of Mines, even though it was still the subsidiary of the Chamber of Mines. After 1995, Balrisi disaster, I was then the president of the National Union of Mine Workers. When they took a decision at the chamber level to transform the chamber, for which an ad hoc committee was established, which was co-chaired by the Chamber of Mines and the National Union of Mine Workers. Then some of the recommendations were that SEBA used to have what they call it the SEBA cash, which today is called SEBA Bank, and an independent entity. In order to further transform SEBA and in keeping with the national and mining industry imperative, in December 2005, SEBA was sold to a BEE, that BEE in Galieti, and the owners of that BEE decided to donate 25% of SEBA equity to the employees. SEBA country currently operates out of 80 offices in all major labor sending areas, for which last year it has processed about 260,000 mine workers. I think here today, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, we need to understand, even though SEBA is no more recruiting as it used to be in the past. In the past, it was used to say, go to the rural areas and encourage young men to volunteer and go to work in the mining industry. But some of the losses I used to know go to Marbe, Ghana, my state of Ramas Nyondo. So it's no more to the future anymore. Most of the mines will tell SEBA, we want you to recruit people from this area. It's no more as it used to say to Deva, we want 200 mine workers and decide where to. See, the mines themselves are deciding the recruiting areas now. But when coming to, for instance, the semi skilled and such as the machine operators, they themselves go to the areas, interview, and test those semi skilled workers, and give only the documents to Deva to process. At the present moment, for instance, Deva, as I said, in line with the development which has taken place in the country, it has to establish a section with one company called the Deva Development in order to be involved in the development of the rural areas for which its budget this year will be spending around about 35 million. With the reduction in mine labor over recent years, Deva has focused increasingly on support services to rural families in addition to the agent business scheme. It provides for Deva and the Rand Mutual Assurance Company. Deva also provides us with support to daily provident fund pensions and commercial basis. In summary, Deva represented the mining industry wherever it operates, but perceptions of these operations are largely unclear and out of date. Given its transformation and the relaunch as a black-owned mining service company, Deva can play the leading role in following up all outstanding mining industry claims, estimated, for instance, 12,000 outstanding claims deriving from mine workers' pension funds, for which worth of more than 1 billion rand is still unclaimed at the present moment. You may ask the reasons why. The reasons are simple. The mine workers' provident fund, as you said, you will need the information. It's been run by the trustees from the mining industry and the National Union of Mine Workers. So for one reason or another, they decided to give the cases of the people who passed away or the beneficiaries to another company, for which, if you ask me, the only company which has got the record of all individuals who have gone to the mining industry, it's Deva. It's Deva which has got the good record, which will be able to trace an individual from a rural area. It will be Deva is able to understand, is able to know where to get an individual, for which it will be very difficult for any company, because an individual in the mining industry will be James Matas, where he's coming from. Calden B, full stop. If Calden B is the rural area. But the Deva will be able to say that James Matas is coming from Bizana, Bizana to this village, from that village, for that headland. So you are able to go and reach the village of individual where he is coming from. But other entities won't be able to do that. Then I'm mentioning a provident fund because it's the present one which the MCS has got a record. We also have 1970 provident fund, which is small. That one can also be dealt through Deva. But the money is with the Chamber of Mines. It's the Chamber of Mines which can provide the outstanding money for those employees who used to be members of the Provident Fund. And then we have Long Service Award. Long Service Scheme, which is a scheme which was only for the black mine workers. they will, for instance, the former mine workers will go to several offices and be given the forms that they can fill the forms, and the server will be able to trade their money from the mines where they have worked. Server itself, it doesn't keep any money for employees who have been recruited by its offices. It's just a transmitter between the individual and the mining industry. So, with this short presentation, Honorable Chair, we will be able to respond to whatever any questions. As I said, we would still have what you need to be clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. One quick one. Oh, before I ask a quick one, anything to add?
Just if I may allow, also add that I'd like to mention the 1970 Provident Fund, which I believe was this information here, that in June of 2007, we reached an agreement with the chairman to take those members. I was also then from CEDO appointed as trustee, and currently we are already in place members. I estimate that we will place plus minus 5,000 ex miners, and that we will be able to through a sister company, namely Silver Bank, also pay out the first benefit. We also we started an initiative with mine workers' problems, which I believe also did presentation to this committee. Unfortunately, that was only started last month. Because it costs money to address, and finally we did reach an agreement on the issue with the trustees for that fund, and they gave us 140 as the sample, which must be completed by the end of March, and we will ensure that that is done. We might know secret for this, that we would like to trace, that's what Dr. Mandelaki said. There's many possible sources of because we feel very strongly that 1.2 billion grant should go to the families. And lastly, as Dr. Mandelaki mentioned, from Mara and Tera, we are a facilitator. That is why, if you look at the document, we paid just over 2,000 million rand last year on behalf of various companies, and that was for workers' compensation, pension benefits, risk for the assurance benefits, and long service benefits. And if you will allow me really to expand on the long service award benefit, it's the only benefit that TEBA is responsible for. It's called the Chamber of Mines Long Service Award Scheme. I must add that the Chamber in 1995 asked TEBA to administer the received comments on behalf, and since the day, once that has been our I don't want to go into detail. I did, you can see, a document, which is still Christianity. I might just highlight that there are two main qualifying criteria, and it's 55 years with 10 years service for an in-service minor, and for an out-of-service minor, it is 55.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
55 years.
55 years.
With
that's the criteria.
With 10 years. Completed service.
The first one was,
and then the second one was out of service, which this committee will be interested in, 55 years with 15 years. Those are the rules laid down by the Chamber of Mines. Honourable Chairperson, I did, as I mentioned, prepare for you this document with the criteria for your proposal.
Thank you very much. Is this the Chamber of Mines?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to have a quick one before I give over to members in the SEBA as an agent, a recruiting agent for agency, and SEBA Bank, what is here? I must say that this question came to me from SAGC, and I floundered because I don't know SEBA Bank.
Well, as I said earlier, coming from the recommendation of Grand Commission of SEBA in 1996-1997, SEBA Bank is coming from the substructure of SEBA Limited before 1997, used to be SEBA Cash. So one of the recommendations in 1997 was that SEBA Cash should be transformed to a commercial bank, SEBA Bank. So today SEBA Bank is independent, completely independent from SEBA Limited. The commercial bank, like all other banks.
Can I go and bank this?
Yes, please. Please.
Okay. Remember, that is the presentation.
Just by my name, Table Limited also acts as an agent. That is maybe why the confusion.
Yeah.
Because we have 55 rural offices. 55 rural offices in the four labor-descending countries, or four five labor-descending countries. Mozambique, the city, Swaziland, Botswana. Oh yes, and we've got one office in the Zimbabwe office. And then in South Africa. And through that 55 offices, we provide very important online banking services to miners and to the family. So we have the SEBA Bank FlexQ banking system. Online system in 55 of the town. That is mainly the reason why in 2007 we paid out 2 billion pounds through the 55 of the town.
members, that is the presentation. It's yours to interact. Okay, Mama, Kobe, in that order, all of you want.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got a question for Deva, to ask, why is it so difficult? It's 38 years since 1970, that it's so difficult for Deva to reach the people who were working in the mine. Why is it so difficult? Were those people not registered with the mining house? The other one is, with the money that is there, okay, firstly, the long service, how many years is it when the people are saying they are long service, they've got to get money for long service? Waiting for the mine. How many years is it? And also, the tracing, when with the names and the people, the tracing. How do you use to trace the people? Because you've just said they recruit from homeland, from a chief, from a headman. From such a village, that headman belongs to such a village or so. So why is it so difficult for Deva to reach the people? Thank you.
We'll take one round of questions and take responses and take another round.
Thank you, Chair. And also to welcome the Comrade Rukla. Welcome to Parliament. Now, I want to just know two things. I heard you well when you were saying that Deva can trace. And here, in fact, we have been inundated with this question. How do we trace the people who have to benefit? And there have been a lot of to-wing and throwing. And so what I want to know is if you are able to trace, how long will you take to actually reach the stage where you say, we have traced, even if we have lost one or two, we can no longer be able to trace. Because we want this thing to be settled as quickly as he said. It's many, many years back when workers went on toy. So that's the first thing. The second one is, if we can't trace some of these workers, will you be prepared to seize the benefits? You seize the benefits because we can't trace, so that those benefits can be used for national good. What I'm talking about, national good, it means that if we discover that we are missing, we can't trace so and so, but there were hundreds of workers who came from Mchanga. Can you seize that money and then we develop Mchanga? Because that's where their relatives and other people are staying. This is just really something that I want to hear from you, because even old mutuals and sunlight are having the same problem of billions and billions, and it cannot be traced. And they want to keep the money. And one is testing this, because I'm very interested in getting that money and plow it into the community, because it is not theirs anyway. And I will also be making a suggestion to Sunlam and old mutuals, who said they can't trace the country, but they want to remain with the money. The money must go to the communities and find support. The third one is we are not really very much worried about the intricate relationship. What we are concerned with is to get the money of these people. If we can get just that money in the most simplest way, we will be happier. And the relationship remains your own arrangement. My other question relates to what the miners have been saying, that in certain instances, when, for instance, a miner has died, who qualified in terms of the rule, there are difficulties in getting other family members to receive that. What are the qualifications for the other family members? So my argument has been that if my wife has died and I have died, children are there, they must also be able. But what are the qualifications so that the children or any other member of the family can receive the benefit? Thank you.
I think we must take that two steps, and then we will take the other two. Let us take responses now.
Well, first and foremost, I need Herbert to explain exactly the responsibility of Deva as far as long service award is concerned. I think we need to clarify that. I don't want the people to understand that we are keeping people's money. You will have to clarify that. Because I don't think we clarified it for us. Now, in the past, to give a short history of the black mine workers. The black mine workers were, until 1989, couldn't qualify, first of all, for a provident fund and or a pension fund from the industry. They could only qualify for a long service award, for which I think Charles must explain properly about that. Then in 1970, the industry introduced 1970 provident fund, which was only given to a minority, about 3% of blacks, who used to be classified as clerical and all manual employees. It was not even more than 3% of the entire workforce. So, then, while the bulk were falling under long service award, safety, for instance, it has never been a problem from ever, and it is not even a problem up to today. The question which needed to be asked, who instructed Deva to train? Deva would be instructed to say, for instance, mine workers, hence the provident fund. Deva will get that information from the fund to say, place the following people on our behalf. Then Deva will train. And then, for 1970 provident fund, Deva will be given the number, like number of mines, to pay these members who haven't claimed their money for provident fund 1970. Deva will pay them. For long service award, it's a responsibility of individual mine worker who will go and present himself to Deva office and say, I have worked for so many years in the industry, therefore I want my long service award. Then Deva will give that particular mine worker necessary forms to proceed, so that mine worker must be able to pay each and every mind where that individual went. Because if you see pain by an individual mind, where a mind worker went to, it's a small amount of money. But the real bulk of money is profit and fund, which is, at the present moment, more than a billion rand unclaimed. Jehovah might not be able to get an individual, but will be able to know, as you know, that after 1990, when our country started to be a democratic country, quite a number of people moved to urban areas, so which sometimes it becomes a difficulty to find a person who is in other camps. But Jehovah will be able, for instance, to reach the feelings of that individual, and members of the family will be able to say to Jehovah, we know that James Mutasi is in Kolomisa, Father Camp in Boxing. How you will get him, we do not know. But he is still alive. And or he passed away a long time ago. Here is his family. Here is his grandson, granddaughter, and so forth. Then a mechanism will be worked out who will have to benefit in line with the law and by everybody's consent. So tracing for Jehovah is not a problem. But Jehovah needs to be given. Tasked either by the mining houses, individuals, Chamber of Mines, and all the mine workers' profits and funds. So from as far as we are concerned, we don't have that problem. Here, there are quite a number of money. I think, probably next year, you will be able to know far much better than I. If we have got so many hundreds of millions and claims, the institution needs to come forward with the government to say, we think so many people are unable to claim. We have tried one through DEVA, two through other agencies, and therefore we can't get this individual. Here are the reports from DEVA, from other entities. We can't find the beneficial from this. Then the government will decide about how to spend that money.
To also assist you, can I provide you with the following information to put all these benefits into perspective? If you look at the mines in 1970 problem, the average payout is about 1,200 pounds. If you look at the Chamber of Mines Long Service Award scheme, it's about 1,500. Look at mining for profit is about 150 pounds. So, as Dr. Maglotti mentioned, the pay should be on the line with profit terms that was established in 1939, and then the outstanding benefits that are due to our family. The 1.2 billion is only payable to families. Additional 5,000 pounds outstanding for X members. So the 12,000 pounds is only in respect of the debt general. If it comes to the question of the mindset, I can say the problem is kind of why it's so difficult to place that to members. This is a scheme that still in 2008 is administered by the Chamber, although I'm now a professional consultant. When I was given the data last year, I was actually surprised at the lack of information. example, on this database that I can read, that I'm very few identity or pass or what he had to do with the names, virtually with the name, and then what name and surname, and then employer name, was to run it through the Tether database. Fortunately, we have a comprehensive database which was automated in 1986. And from that, we managed to identify 12,000. It was just under 60,000. Now, also, of the 60,000, it became clear to me that many of those so-called 60,000 members have duplicate records. And then I was told that when a mine worker moves from the one mine to the other mine, another member of the spreadsheet. So, unfortunately, with the month 19, the answer to the question, the data is completely insufficient. But what people will do, we will attempt to trace as many ex members of the 12,000, and I'm hopeful we will be far. We will trace as many as possible in the Caribbean.
I think Harald Lillis is thinking the right perspective here. We can't explain mine workers from the family unless we are being given
the responsibility.
That is my decision. Then the mine worker problem is the important one. Just as I mentioned, we were only off in January 2008 to assist the fund. And what we were given, as I mentioned earlier, we were given only a sample. And we were given a timeline, I think it was 1 March. And then, hopefully, from what we will do from January to March, the fund will then, the point, ever, to trace the remaining traces also. But as And it's for the trustees of the fund to take responsibility and to appoint Tiber as being the trading manager.
Thank you.
Normally, I don't want to talk about other organizations in the option, but I think it would be appropriate for you if you haven't met with the Chamber of Mines and or the National Mines to find out why they are not making sure that 12,000 mine workers or beneficial officials have been given their money. the real problem we are having today in your country, soon as you try to commercialize things, it becomes a very difficult. If the Chamber of Mines was here in the National League of Mines, I would be saying, they don't, it's not necessary that they don't know which institution can be very good. It's precisely because people have got material benefits for the companies which not perform. As I'm saying, and I will say, the only organization which have got a record is German. That's the only organization. You can, for instance, for your information, can give Deva a calculus of things. The weight of Comrade Nelson Mandela when he goes the mining, they will be able to do it. It's the only organization. But because they are not here, I do not want them to say, I have spoken badly about them. They need, for instance, the Chamber of Mines is his own responsibility to make sure that the ex-mine workers do get their benefits. It's their responsibility. They must make sure that.
Chairperson, if I may, continue with the question.
But if I were to shift in towards the city of Spain, the process that we are involved in now is to get to know who those beneficiaries are. Where are they? Now, the predicament that we are facing, as Deva, you are saying, came by commercializing this investigation. They say the same about you. They say you are expensive because they have to hire you to trace these people. That's what they say.
No. They
pay you to trace these people. Now, our fear is to understand, as a recruiting agent, ever, whenever someone passes through your system, you record where that person comes from. We understand it well, that in the old times, our people were numbers. They were not people, they were just numbers. It was number 20, and if number 20 is not there, there's no reason to look for another for that number 20. Get another person to place the tag on that person. That's what was explained. Now, Deva, therefore, is the key, in my view, is the key to that. In the rural areas, you need to know where those people are. And what generation, if people have died long ago, who are the, what's name, the relatives of those people? You might not be in the need of such information, but the person you would say, this person, our records from 1970 up to now, are suggesting that this person came from Kukumbu, Eshalakulali Ekile, and all those kinds of things. You are the only agent that should have that information. Chamber might not have them.
No, they don't.
Because they receive processed people out. At that time, they were called characters. They were getting processed people, and the processing agent, therefore, the processing point was Deva. From unemployment to employment, you would go via Deva. And that is why we need that information from you.
Right.
And they say you are expensive. You get hired to get those people.
Okay. You see, it's very interesting. And look, how before Deva used to be Raj. I got to read Deva years in South Africa. He brings Deva to the other day. It used to be funded by the Chamber of Mines. When I came in, they said, look, we want you to transform Deva to Rally in a commercial way. Being their own organization. Not only, it was started to be owned by Black Empowerment in year 2005. And it has never increased even a cent. I would say, for instance, to them, how expensive Deva is while it's been owned by Black Economic Empowerment versus before it used to be. That's the first question I would ask them. The second question, because you are saying Deva is expensive, are you saying it's much better for you to keep the money of individuals who are suffering at the rural area? It's a malicious basis. Because for as long as I used to be in the mining industry and the president of the National Union, even up to today, I paid to them, you owe the nation millions and millions of rand. Because there are so many people who passed away who didn't even know about that they were qualifying for long service award. They are the ones who have to answer that question. You see? And then they must also be able to say, if they are saying Deva is expensive, it's expensive for how much? Because even up to today, majority of the directors who are sitting on the Deva are coming from the mining industry. They are the ones who are determining how Deva should cost the industry. They are malicious. You see? Mm-hmm. And Honorable Chair, I think James Mutanze is prepared to come with anybody from the Chamber of Mines to debate the issue. And they are malicious. And I'm going to tell them they are malicious. They own billions and billions to our people. They mustn't come here and lie and hope that they cannot be challenged.
Okay. There were two comrades that did me ask questions. Comrade Nkombi and Tata.
Well, thank you very much, sir. One firstly to really welcome the presentation. Okay, I have a few questions. The first question that I want to know. Does Deva know or is Deva familiar with an organization called X Mine Workers Union? Have they interacted with that organization? X Mine Workers Union. Secondly, if they have interacted with that organization, is their data of beneficiaries reconciled with your data? Because they have a list of ex-mine workers that they claim that they didn't benefit from their provision fund and so on. So is there any reconciliation between your own data and your data? Thirdly, is Deva aware of the 1987 bloody strike and the subsequent violence that took place, particularly in Gauteng, I would say Transvaal? If they are aware of that, are they aware of the number of workers that left those places? Because most of them, they were in the mines, but they were in the hostels. and there was a serious, you know, political violence. And they have been left without their belongings, you know. So it's difficult for them to raise their own thing, like IDs and so forth and so forth and so forth. And they claim that they are part of that. That is the third question. The fourth question, because of Airbus is a recruiting agent, or was a recruiting agent, what is the role of Airbus between the gate of a mine and the mine? What is the role of Airbus? I'm asking that question, what is the role of Airbus when a miner is fired? What happens to that miner when he goes home, and so forth, the information, his benefits and so forth. Who follows up between the gate of a mine and the home of a miner? I'm asking this question also in relation to the question of miners that leave mines because of health reasons. What is the role of Airba to understand that that worker has been examined properly, to understand whether this worker has an illness caused by his working conditions in the mine, in order for you to establish the relationship of benefits of that particular mine. So what is the role of Airba in that particular situation? If Airba has a system which can trace people from 1960, I'm making an example. What is the relationship between Airbus systems and the Department of Labor system, and also the system of the Department of Health? I'm asking this question because you find that we have different systems in the country, which is a fundamental challenge to how we administer our things. Because we might be dealing with the same constituents, but this constituency is in different systems and different numbers, and it creates problems in terms of administration. So what is your thinking in terms of integrating systems? Make sure maybe you can sell that system to government. No, I'm asking the question of systems coordination, which is a very serious issue. You know, I'm asking this question, Chapter 3, because at the beginning of this year, January, I didn't have anything to do. I came here to Parliament to sit in my office. I received a phone call. I made an appointment with this old mama. She came here. She gave me an ID number of this ex-mine worker. I phoned the Department of Labor in Eastern Cape, where this person comes from, next to the village. He did not appear in the system of the Department of Labor. This is a serious challenge. The serious challenge was to find that many people do not get benefits, maybe unemployment, insurance fund, and any other, you know. Because I'm asking this, in the process of transformation and the amalgamation of the country to make it a single country, these states, like Amatranskaya and Suskai, they were using other books. And you find that numbers are conflicting of people, because when they made the register to tell that they used a particular book, but now they have an ID, there could be conflict of numbers. The ID numbers and those old numbers. You see? So do you have a capacity in terms of dealing with that situation if that challenge comes, you know, in front? I'm asking this question because I think if ever really has a tracing capacity and this information, I think this, you know, this question should be answered in order for us to be easy to resolve the issue. These are the questions for the first round of the questions that I want to ask.
Thank you, Comrade Nicole. What is attracting me in this question, I'm sure, when we're dealing with the health department, will need to come back. It might not be a Deba, but to Deba we might say, what referrals do you get from these various departments? For an example, Department of Health. When I go to a hospital or something like that and get diagnosed on an illness that relates to my previous employment, which
I would reveal I worked in the mine. Do you get such referrals, especially since this this thing started, this thing of claimants coming forward saying that they want their benefit? I'm sure it's in case. Is familiar with this. I want to ease it on the side of Deva by saying, do you get referrals from the department? That's the cross-pollination or the sharing of information or relatedness, interrelatedness between this department and agencies insofar as resolving this impact. I would put that question as such, but I am going to pose that question when we're interacting with you, the Department of Health, because you might be getting such cases. What do you do about them? But it will come when you come in.
Can you listen to follow the app? You must be short, eh? Follow up?
Yes, they follow up on
the same place.
But you see, as I understand, is that Terra is a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
If you come from rural areas, you pass there.
Yeah.
If you are dismissed, you pass there.
Yeah.
So in relation to Terra,
you get your money, whatever.
Yeah. And that's how it is. Mm. And the related question is that one of health, before we go to health. Whether those that are dismissed on the basis of health reasons, do they come to you with that report? Because there has been a controversy around the fact that people have been sick, they need to go for another test, blah, blah. So I just wanted to know.
I must say thank you for the openness and frankness of your submission. Because, as you all know, people my age will know, TEVA wasn't such a good organization because it used a lot of money outside of the reason why they were established. Because they had houses on the beach where the high officials used to go and have holidays. And they used a lot of the money of the people in that direction. So, but why are we here? We want to establish whether the ex-mine workers have a case.
Yeah.
But what I hear from you is that they have a case.
Yeah.
This is what I'm hearing. Yeah. And then you say there is money. Yeah. And so, it is difficult. These people went to Pretoria. They were angry. And they weren't given the true reply. They said, go back home, we're going to sort it out. Now, then I also hear that the claim value about 1,200 to 1,500 is going to cost more to trace than the money that's there. But to be prepared to spend more money for tracing, in handing out the money to the people who say that, and I would guarantee you that if you had to take all this money and pay these people, it would be easier. It would be easier and would simpler. So these things are people. And then when individuals come here and say, look here, we have a case, the individual is there, now what's he going to trace? Because he is there, he's presenting himself. And now why are you going to still trace this? It's because he's done half the work for you. He's brought himself. He's presenting himself to your office. So I'm concerned. I'm really concerned. Because at one stage I thought I could understand what was happening. But now it's taken me right back to where we've begun. And it is serious. It's a serious, serious, serious issue. The Chamber of Mines has said a relative. Now TEVA is commercialized. And so breaking forces, two commercial bodies. So Mr. Chairman, I think this problem is bigger than we can think. And I don't think there's an easy way of that we are going to be able to
solve it. And I think I'm just not sure now. At one stage, I must be very honest, I thought, hey, we get nearer and nearer and nearer. Today has pushed us miles away.
The more you get presentation,
the
more you get deeper into the ocean. The more you see the picture.
Like the picture of apartheid again.
But we are balanced. A solution has to come. No matter what is, a solution has to come. I think let us give you a chance to respond.
I would like to have a stage that Deva has in Sibida Park.
I didn't get that to you.
He's taking the Deva head. If you want to speak it.
That's why I said earlier, you can take off your jacket.
let me say, the formula today is Facebook. There were a number of left messages. I left it as well. You get it from the pocket. We can make quite a number of examples. But the problem is that when you are talking about people who are not here, but I want you to be on record to say to you, that is, after a number of months, we will make figures report of 1995, but here 2005, they must forward me that report. And with their decision onto that report, because they commissioned the mixed figures precisely because after I have arrived at the bed, you talked about the reconciliation of the data. You Chamber of Mines owned San Moshal Assurance. That's where it's there. And I said, bring this entity together because you run them parallel. If you can bring them together, it will be useful for individuals. When people are being medically repatriated, each and every mining house does whatever they think. They don't come by as they were supposed to. They repatriate them, they send them home free. When in the past, mine workers, when they were discharged or after their expiry of contract, used to go via them. Now, of late, Deva is only processing them to go back to the mine. When they retire, when they are being dismissed, they don't go via them. However, again, we need to understand this.
What happens to their money and sales?
Well,
because they used to go to Deva to get their money. I remember when I was young, they would come by trains and say, we're going to Deva offices to get paid today.
Get paid. Deva used to run that. No one had paid in South Africa. Only two countries which are still using that system is Lesotho and Mozambique. So individuals are getting their money right from the mine. Even when they are going on pension.
So from when? More or less?
But it's just even unfortunate because
some of our national media, television in particular, they will come and interview you and promise that they will air it and subsequently you don't see that. About 6-7 weeks ago, I was interviewed to air my views, and so far as the Senate Court is concerned, I articulated that. But the problem of our national broadcaster, they went via the Chamber of Mines, I think they are kind of now, here, if you look at the difference between black and white, an occupational disease can develop even after 20 years, after you have left the disease. There are no facilities for black people to be tested. They are only being tested while they are waiting in the mine. That's all.
Thousands
of mine workers died because of occupational disease, which they were not tested. That is the responsibility, in my understanding, of the employer.
Yeah. Yep.
That's true. That's the first one. Now, again, you know, you talked about mine workers, ex-mine workers, the union is in there by number 10. You know one another. Then, another problem is again, why there are so many thousands and thousands of unclaimed compensation. We can't blame to the system. We must also blame individuals. 1986, King Rose disaster, 177 mine workers died, of which 5 were white, 172 were black. We took the case even during that apartheid. We won the case for extra compensation. Relationship between us, meaning the National Union of Mine Workers, and the mining industry was bad. They refused to give us information. We received extra compensation for those who died in that explosion. NUM could, out of 172, with my best explanation, we could only be able to fix 38. So only the 8 people received their extra compensation. Where is that money? That's a question I would ask. The strike of 1987 ultimately to many of the cases, we won the cases, mine workers have received extra compensation. NUM couldn't be able to trace this particular individual. There was money to let him die. Where are they? I'm just giving you typical examples which you can directly ask the Chamber of Mines. Where is this money? Where is that money? Now, but at the same time, if you recall, in 1998. I'm not so sure when that law was passed in Parliament, where they said, now, when I died in the mining industry, anyone, if I had a girlfriend in my time, and also change, he was for the mining experience, not only those. In 1998, when we explained that to my workers, we even lost a member of the executive because the mine workers said, look, you want us to our money to go to the country, the job for, he was killed. The
major problem even after today. If you can go to the working black mine workers, more than 60% of them will tell you, I have nothing to tell my wife what happened when I come here, because she will be here. That is still the understanding up to today. That is why you will find the poor families sometimes do not know what to do when an individual passes down. They do not know what to do. However, that should not be the problem of the family, because the employer was so good to be able to recruit an individual from deep, deep, deep rural area, and the institution which they use, they must also be able to use the very same institution which succeeded to bring that able black mine worker who is coming from the rural area to the mining industry. Now today, they wanted to hide behind the institutions which they formed themselves to say they are very expensive. So, if they are very expensive, it's well and good to have more than, maybe to add on to, it's not only Provident Fund, 19 Student and Mine Workers Provident Fund and Anglo-American gave their employee share in 1997 when they tried to destroy the National Union of Mine Workers. And hundreds of thousands of mine workers didn't even know about it. Ask Anglo-American to give the parliament how many millions of rand they are keeping for those people. This is the information I needed to give it to you, so that you can go to the Chamber of Mines and say, give me one. And next year, the report in that year 2005, to Anglo-American, tell me about the share you gave to the mine workers who are running at hundreds of millions today. Where are those money? You Chamber of Mines, what are you doing about more than a billion rand of mine workers' Provident Fund? What are you doing about 19th Provident Fund? What are you doing about Long Service Award? What are you doing about those money? Can you tell the parliament, can you tell the nation, what are you doing about those money? To come and say, oh, the service I used to run is very expensive. If it's very expensive, they must find an alternative. If it's very expensive, they must find an alternative. That is not an excuse. So you can respond to other
questions. Okay. Hello. Yeah, okay. I think given the mining issue, we do have an interaction with the Department of Health in Johannesburg. We, on a lease basis, we will supply to the department a complete record of service. And based on that record of service, benefits the water. That is more or less the relationship between the tenor and the department of health. But they do have their own database and their own supplying with the report, which they will then use as the basis for the dividend payout. And that we do on a regular basis and on a monthly basis. One thing thing that I would like to leave with the committee, which personally for me is a really important issue. The Monday Sovereign Fund was established in 1939, and I have dealings with the fund from more or less 1992. And throughout these years, the requirements are getting more and more tougher. If I may give you an example, which I feel sometimes is unfair, if a family wants to claim, that poor widow needs to obtain three affidavits from the in-laws to state that she was the actual widow. In some cases, that will be more problematic. So my view is, and personal view, that we are applying standards which at times is simply not feasible. And we need to relook. Karuna's organization, what is required from those families? How can we best process those benefits? And then on the long sensible, TEBA is administering the scheme as I mentioned earlier, on behalf of the chamber. What is important?
Does Noma Zele qualify then?
If from the criteria which is on the document.
From the criteria that you have just outlined.
Anybody qualifies.
No.
Anybody that qualifies in terms of ex mine workers who qualifies in terms of the criteria will get the nonsense.
I'm specifically asking about this individual. Norma Zele claims to be qualifying for that benefit, which is about 320,000, I think, I'm not sure. Now, do you have such, because they present themselves to you and you investigate, do you have the name of that individual, Norma Zele?
I do have. I would have to.
Does he qualify?
I wouldn't have. I would have the details. Check it, and then verify age and number of years service. For that, you may qualify or you may not qualify.
But that is not the effect on your behalf to work. Do you ever have to
I would ask the question, does he know that he should be applied?
No, let me say, no. Very well. Norma Bell, being a former branch chairman of the National Union of Minorities in Randfontein, and Norma Bell, being one of the members of the Strike Committee of 1987, you know, if you, I don't want it, he's a very problematic person. And you've got an energy. When you fight him, you must to prepare for a long battle. And he knows the system, and he knows how to bypass the system and manipulate the system. That one he knows very well. I think, even without verifying, you will find that he applied to him. He's long service. He is a person who cannot be owed by anybody. He's a person who cannot be owed by anybody. And you can ask, you might ask the chairman, you can ask Mantashi, you can ask the person who is the biggest doctor of mine. You see, he will take it. He targeted the National Union of Mine Workers. and he will realize that he can't win the battle. By saying, you are a sellout organization, you called people to go on strike and you don't care about them. After that, he targeted them and realized that it's a toy telephone. He went to the Chamber of Mines and then he realized it's another toy telephone. He targeted Anglo-American, Anglo-Bold. I don't know out of Anglo-Bold what he received. I think ultimately. Now he targeted the government, the trade. He went to the union building. So when you are dealing with him, about the information, he knows the whole information of the procedure. That is why he is able to manipulate that. That is why he is also aware of the ignorance of so many people. So what we can do for the record, I think we need to go and check and give the parliament information to say normal
things.
Yeah, what he said, this is his status. We need not only to give to the parliament, the maybe to the Eastern Cape, the Department of Health, the Eastern Cape, Department of Labor. So they must know the status of normal value in so far as his relationship with the industry is concerned. But I can give you assurance, he's a person who should not be owned by any. That's what I mean. Sure.
I think I would agree with you on that one, on the last statement that you have made, but we should not leave it for too long, because that, even this committee didn't have information relating to that. We could just listen to him saying that I have a case. And because the entire story is a case, then he becomes part of the bigger picture. So if we have information about him being the leader of that union, we are able to say you basically. If the committee could be assisted with that information,
I think
it will be okay. I don't know whether I should give you do you want to shed light for us?
Just to say that he created major disruption within our department as well. Some have shown that we had to get a court order against him because he caused disruption in our institutions, blockades of hospitals, within administration, blocks in our department. So I concur with what has been said here.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
I have interviewed members of the ex-Margaret's organization from the East Cape in Johannesburg. And the understanding then that we reached was in the respect of benefits and questions that were faced, that will be handled through our East Cape network.
I thought Flanagan was going to be here. I thought he was going to be here.
And that crisis is just discussed.
He will be giving us, sharing us light in so far as that is concerned, but I'm not coming into your arrangement. But if I can say, in terms of cleaning up the presentation and the interaction with the presentation, there are a number of areas that we would need information about. If Deborah can assist us, you have money that you need to give to beneficiaries. Is that a fact?
You don't have money.
Okay. Plus minus 1.2 billion that should go to beneficiaries. Where is that money and how do you know it? It's in the fund. And the fund is asking you to trace.
So the fund is refusing. It's using their expense.
No, I understand that. I think we interviewed the fund last
last week. And the fund is asking for your assistance to trace those people.
Now of late, they gave us about how many people? 140. Out of how many
people?
Out of 12,000. Out of 12,000, they gave you 100 and something.
140.
Okay.
Were they not just testing whether you can trace that before they give you the final contract?
No. The rest of the contract.
There are people who people can look at who are benefiting from this.
I wanted to check before I give you Mama, which other company is being used here? I heard you saying there's another company that they are using, whether it's Chamber or the Providence. The 1970 Providence Fund.
I think that is the information we would want to have in order.
Mama Kamin, and my last question would be, what would you recommend we do as Parliament in order to make it possible that qualifying beneficiaries do get what is due to them? I would want to get your advice on that. But don't get him up.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to know about the duplication of people. What if a person works in a mine for 3 years and perhaps in the other mine again for a year or 5 years, and obviously that name will be changed because I worked there for 3 years, I'm working in another mine for 8 years or so. What happens to that?
That was the difficulty with the mine study certainly problems, partly why the record system and from my words of shambles. At that time there was not what we have today, namely an NSP number. Now that number is issued by Timber, and that was more or less started from 1983 when the record of service was automated. To answer the question directly, fortunately, with the minor problems, we don't have that problem because they make use of Timber's NSP number.
Yeah.
Every minor record gets issued another with the NSP number. And that number remains with you even if you change from the employer. And it doesn't matter if you change twice or thrice, the number remains. So the member on the mine worker problem fund database has only one member number. And that number is directly linked to the system.
Mr. Human, your criteria for long service.
Yes.
I think there's a claim that is seen from administrative centers to be conflicting with legal practice. A claim that the traditional convention is that any person who is related to me stands to benefit from the claim that I'm making. Even if it's Molokazana one, my daughter-in-law, my grand child, or whatever. But the legal imperative suggests that only your immediate family, like your wife, your mother, father, sometimes it excludes even your brother.
Chairperson,
I really don't know.
there are only two individuals in the claim along the service award in the case of the death of a mine worker,
mm-hmm.
and it's either the spouse or
what is the spouse?
The wife. Or spouses. Mm. And then the guardian that cares for minor children. Mm. And no one else qualifies. And that is from changing the rules that the Chamber implemented in 1983.
Mm.
That is what we are bound to adhere to.
Members, do you have, just to clear this, the reason why I said you have money, there's a responsibility of service award benefit scheme, which was handed over to you by Chamber.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That's the long service award scheme. Yes,
it's a scheme without money.
Yes, as I mentioned, as Dr. Jablasi mentioned, SEBA do not hold any money as such. SEBA will receive the application from either the ex-mine worker or the family, will purchase that, will then ask the last mine to confirm service. Once that service has been confirmed, the mine will provide us with the information.
They don't have records.
Yes, they also do. But we supply them our record.
They don't.
And then we ask them to really confirm our record. In most cases, they will merely confirm. Based on that, we will invoice them. They will pay us, and then we will pay out.
All right.
You don't keep money.
No.
You brought as a service provider.
That is.
We are a service provider.
We are meaning of the intermediate.
Yes. You seem to be inborn, you comprehend. I would request that not now. Not now, but you can off the cuff relate to the question that I asked. What do you think the solution would be, and where do you think it lies in this part? When you go back to your offices, a two-pager would do us good, relating to all these matters that you suppose need further probing. It would assist us a great deal, because the trust of what you have just given us now suggests that we need another round with the Chamber. We might decide not to call it as a committee, but I think the suggestion here is that another round is needed, even if it's for 5 minutes. But I would want, for the sake of the committee, your offices, your good offices, to give us a two-page information relating to all the things that you think you might be following. But back to my question.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Look, I would say, but I think this committee is needed to ask it about money. How much money do you owe people for your service award? Chamber of Mines, 1970 Chamber of Mines Provident Fund. Mine Workers Provident Fund and other funds. Because the Provident Funds are not only Mine Workers Provident Fund. Anglo-American Platinum has got different funds for Lonmin has got a different fund from this one. Impala Platinum has got a different fund from this one. So they must give you the money which the poor people from all these funds. Anglo-American Corporation, not Anglo-American Corporation, PLC,
must also give you how much money they owe, and then they must also be able to provide you the information. How do they think that money should be reached to the beneficiary? That would be the first recommendation. Then after that, I could say, I think the government is going to appoint a working committee, which will look at this and look at the service provider, including their independence without influence of anyone, and come to the conclusion to say how best government thinks that this money will reach the owner. That would be my recommendation.
That is the real last point.
The Chamber of Mines, sometimes, when you talk to them, they say we are just a Chamber of Mines representing different interests. And that if you really want to go deep into the street, you would have to see so and so. How do we pass through them to give us the information about the different interests?
That is why I'm saying ask them for this information. If they will refer you to the other mining houses, you have to say, you know that mining house is your subsidiary. We know you. They must be able to go to Anglo American and say, hey, bring the information. Mm-hmm. All those are their members.
I think that's true.
Sure.
That's true. Yeah. Thank you very much, Champa. Thank you very much, CEO Mutant. Thank you,
human.
Yeah. I think I've already made this request that you need to give us a 2 or 3 data suggesting a way forward. We will deliver it. We might accept your view. We might not accept it. But we would want to check your intellect in terms of how do we go forward. Thank you very much. I know you want to catch a plane. I think you are not late for your plane.
Except you do not know that.
Thank you. No, there's no traffic yet at this time, so you don't have traffic. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I wish you good luck about your mother. I know it very well.
Yeah.
Okay,
congratulations to you, please.
Yeah. Department of Health. Taylor. I think we are coming back to you now. If you could make your presentation.
Okay, Honourable Jim, maybe just to start off, we've prepared a document, a background document. I know the gist of the of our being here is to really look at the medical benefit examination. So we will obviously drill into that. We just maybe like to briefly take you through the document that we've prepared. And then we'll spend a lot more time on the medical benefit examination. There was a question that came up from one of the honourable members here in terms of the responsibilities of X miners, and we see that as our responsibility from a screening point of view. But if I could then hand over to Pillar, Honourable Chair, she is the expert in terms of this in our province, and I'll just come and support where necessary. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Pillar.
Thank you, Alan. So the information that we have in this document, I will talk to it, but then I need to address honourable members on the practicality of the situation, not more on the background and all that. I need to focus on what is happening as of now. Now, in the Eastern Cape, there are these two programs. There is the routine benefit medical examination. There is also, now they image the project. I'll call it the project. This is the 4 million rand project. Now,
In as far as the routine benefit medical examination is concerned, what we are having in the institutions, we are working with coordinators because we don't have staff at the moment that is appointed for occupational health and safety. So we have coordinators in hospitals who are taking care of the program as the entire program for occupational health and safety and also the F-Mine workers program. So what happens now is that we have the F-Mine worker coming from the village, from wherever he is residing, to the institution for medical screening. So we take him to X-ray, we fill in the forms, and then we post both the forms and the X-ray to MDOJ. And then when we orientate coordinators for this program for benefit medical examination, we train them such that they are very adept, you know, with when they communicate with the minors, because we are dealing with old people, you know, who are residing in rural areas. So in as far as the postal addresses are concerned, because sometimes their mail comes from a nearby shop or something. So now when the medical certificate comes from MPOD, they take that medical certificate to hospital, to the occupational health and safety coordinator, who then proceeds and follows up the claim. If now the person now has been found to be suffering from some occupational disease, and then obviously CCOD will require, you know, some documents to be filled and posted back to CCOD, and then that is now the role of the occupational health and safety coordinator in the institution. So they follow up, they support and follow up the process until the benefit is paid to the mine worker. That is now the, I'll call it the normal benefit medical examination. Now, the 54 million rand issue. The role of the department in as far as that is concerned is to facilitate, because the office of the premier, you know, is championing that, but then because we have a moral responsibility and a legal one to the any health issue, we are facilitating now payment of these benefits to qualifying human workers. The forms are coming from CCOD, and then we are also utilizing the same coordinators in the institution. Initially, because they were list provided, you know, so one would get a list of beneficiaries specifically for that geographical area. And then now what we did as coordinators, we posted those posters, those lists, you know, in all the areas of service delivery. Like you would put up one in OPD casualty where there are many people coming in, and then would also take another one to the municipality where they are paying their rates or doing whatever business, and then another one to the bank. So now when these people see their names, then they would, because you would write your contact numbers at the bottom, that if your name does appear on this list, contact Kilam Kaliti Nkomelelo Hospital or this number. So now the people would then go to hospital, and then you would then start filling in the form or the claim form. The 54 million rand. We have had, so for non-union members, that process has never been a problem, except for Mr. Namazele's union. For any other person, it has run without any problem. But then we have had many encounters and numerous meetings with Mr. Namazele and the members of his union. But in all those meetings, there has always been three concerns from the union side. The first one being the amount that they are getting, that is the 2,700 rand, because it is too small, and they said that it is 2,700 rand across the board, because they are saying that they never suffered from the same occupational disease even before. So why should they be given the same amount now? And then the second one is that Omolokazana should be taken as in next of kin also, you know. And then what is the third one? Yeah, oh yeah, they're also claiming that that fund only belongs to ex-mine workers from the Transkei, but then when the benefits were paid out, also ex-mine workers from the Transkei, you know, got the benefits, and they strongly disagree to that one. The meeting that we've been having with them, there's always been the provincial Department of Health, in some case, the MDOD and CCOD. But I must say that it has not been very easy to reason with Mr. Namazele and the union. You would talk for the whole day, and then you would get tired in the afternoon and ask them, okay, what do you suggest we do that? What do you want us to do? What kind of support do you want from us? And then we'd get, if I can make one example, they would say, what we want from you is for you to get an ATM, put it here, because we want our money. And the time is now 5 o'clock, we've been talking since 9, you know. So, it's been quite heavy, but anyway, so there's been disrupting services, there's been threatening us that, okay, the advice that on such and such a date, you are going to close all the hospitals in Amtata, you know, and all that, you know, and then at some stage they invaded the district office in Umtata. No one was coming in, no one was going out, and then because the district manager was not there, they called me, and then I was put on speaker, and I tried to negotiate with Mr. Namazele, because they were literally staying there, and they had their, when they moved, when they closed down offices, they kept everything, blankets and everything, because they are prepared to flip over and stay for as long as they. But then I managed to talk some sense into him, you know, and then they vacated. But at some other stage, we had to take the services of the SAPS, and then they were evicted from the building. And then because they said that, okay, we're going out now, and then we're coming back on such and such a date, so we cannot function like that. So we obtained a restraining order against them. And then there has not been any disruptions in last year, 2007, even for the change in 2007, and I was wondering that they asked. We do have you know, a schedule of institutions that are offering benefit medical examinations. It is attached on the report, and then our coordinators are also trained by MPOG. Given the guidelines, you know, on how to, or on the process, you know, of compensation of ex-mine workers. And even now, because the coordinators are rotating, so we sometimes get new people coming in, so also we engage NPOG on some, they come down to Kandilu for some orientation, you know, for the new coordinator, so they can be able to process benefits for things for as many of us.
Okay.
If I may, the schedule of institutions, hospitals, we offer medical benefit examination. We bias the former Transcar, obviously, because that's where the reservoir, the bigger workforce came from. But we do have workers from the former Cisco and even the western side of the province. So we have got the odd institution even in the western side of the province, because obviously there's been ex mine workers coming from there, but of course the bias would be the former Transcar, as you can see.
The leader of
ex mine
workers in
he phoned me very early in January, at about half past 6 in the morning. Jefferson, we want a report. if I could, before you get in, if I could just say, members, you would realize that this is not new information to you.
Yeah.
Because we were briefed by the National Department of Health. We're wondering, I'm sure members are wondering, why are you still talking about 64 million? It's not 64 million any longer. It's about 20,
yeah?
It has gone down. It has been distributed. The 2.7 that you are talking about brought it down to 20.
Or something.
Yeah, your information papers should not be talking about 64 million. That is why Nomazele is going crazy. When he sees this 64 million, that's why he says bring ATM. We want. we not laughing, but sometimes literal thinking will tell how possible that is. That together, the normal shino not taking money. Anyway, I don't know, members, if you would interact with this presentation. But it's a presentation that we have been informed about. The very same information that you are giving us. I think the Office of the Premier also brought this type of information. The National Health Department also brought the same information. That is why we know by now that you are left with 20 something. But it doesn't mean that members do not have questions so far as this is concerned. But one thing that I don't know how departments and other stakeholders will have to regulate is the behavior of this union, and in particular this man. We registered when we met with the Department of Labor. Department of Labor. We registered that there is a case here. Fine, but the manner in which this is handled is sometimes not acceptable. A rep from government admitted that when we were in the union building, we told you this and were misleading you. They agreed that we were misleading you, and that is why Nomazele is highly touched up when he goes to your department. Your negotiations are giving him hope that there is something that is being organized or something like that. You don't say that to a person, because he will say I'm moving, but because you told me that something is being done, I'll come back tomorrow. Now, that is the way people are dealing with this man. You know, when he came to us, we were next door, he said, I'm representing ex-workers. I'm a president of ex-workers union. We said, but what is that? Ex-workers. You are saying I'm representing the unemployed. He said, no. The information we have here is that we are about to meet with the ex-mine workers union, a representative in your name. And if you are not that person, get out. You see? So that is the type, that is the way that person should be dealt with. But unfortunately, people would plead with him, oh please, Tata, can you leave? We'll try something tomorrow. And that is why he will keep on coming. He'll keep on coming if we're doing that. But really we need to investigate and have information as we're saying to Tepa. That says, this man made his plea, received his plea, because he was once a mine worker. Yeah. Now, claim due to him, we need to have information whether he received them or not. We cannot summarily dismiss him and say he is distracting whilst he is making a relevant claim. You know? Only when we have information that says, no man, you had your share, so stop your nonsense. That is the situation. But let us just give members to raise questions in this regard. Kongi, let's start from this corner to that corner.
No, thank you for that. In the name, I arrived when you were completing the presentation. Now, I saw you two people from there, but I said, hey, that information, I know it. Lego must go next door to the youth, because the youth is presenting the season also in Brexit. The issue of Loma, the conversation that said, I want us to patch it. I think when we conclude our own report, we need to deal with that question and make recommendations to Parliament, and Parliament should take a decision about it. So let's patch it. But when I was outside, this committee is a joint monitoring committee on the improvement of the quality of youth, children, and people with disabilities. And I told them that I'm here. First question that they asked me, they're saying that, are you discussing the question of people with disabilities that have been injured in mines? And those that even don't know where to go, others could not even get their own benefits, but injured. And they asked me the question. And I said, you know, we never came into that angle because we spoke about occupational diseases in terms of TB and other related matters in this community. So I told myself I must ask those questions, so that is why I'm asking you.
So we call you please.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the next one.
My name is the question relating to whether you are finding it easier to trace people for medical examination. And whether you are finding that the people who are on the list are easily accessible. If not, then what we were discussing with Deva will become very, very relevant. But if you are able to trace them on your own, it's another matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The question is just a comment about Mr. Nomadze's reasoning. When we were at the Eastern Cape with Parliament, sitting Parliament people in the Eastern Cape, we met Nomadze there, who had old people with him, a lot of people, some were ill and all this. So I just wanted to add to that, yes, that his strategy of taking blankets and everything with them, so that wherever they are, they must be there, but he doesn't leave them. And also, what he was saying to us, he said, tomorrow, if you don't come to us and talk to us, tomorrow. You see, all these old women here and men will be nakedly dressed and they are going to lock all the rooms. You won't come in here. That's what she said to us. And we then said, no, we will talk to you, just and so on.
Those are the promises.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We spoke to them, and that is why this committee was formed. Because we wanted to hear them, what was happening, because we did not know anything about it. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that I just want to know is, why are the people of the Eastern Cape not knowing that trans gay and cis gay belong to Eastern Cape? Because when you talk of Eastern Cape, they say, no, we are in cis gay or we are in the trans gay. Why is it so difficult?
Even Olomisa. You were talking about trans guys. Chata, you don't have a question.
No. I'm full shy. That's
a good one. Well, it's up to you now.
I've got a bit of an identity crisis. I don't know where I belong. I was born in Tronyana in the Transkei, and my mother was born in Tumakala in the Suska. So I'm like standing between the two. Now we've come a long way.
Yeah.
Because of that, that Suskei Transkei mentality is, in my opinion, dead and buried a long time ago. Unfortunately, there are certain elements that maybe exploit that difference, but it's not really common anymore. The honourable member who attended the Youth Commission, I can see why he's attending it. Your input has been excellent. Where do you go in terms of the affected people? It's part of our referral pattern. We've done a lot of marketing and a lot of promotion in terms of educating our communities. And in fact, where to go? And it starts with a clinic, because typically an ex-minor would present at a clinic. Okay, and we've brought it across to our clinic practitioners that you need to take the case history of the particular patient that comes in. And the case history would be, obviously, you look at the occupational health signs and symptoms that you would find out where they work and where they've worked before. And from that, then we develop what we call a case history profile. And from there, we would refer to the hospital. And at the hospital, people mention those occupational health and safety coordinators. Particularly the designated hospital chair that you've got a list of, that's where we would do the medical benefit examination. And it touches in with the honourable member next year. It's a very similar question in terms of are we finding it easy to trace the members? I'd like people to talk to that. We've done, as I say, extensive outreach in that regard, but one must bear in mind that the members are getting older and we're losing members as we're going along. But I'm of the opinion that we've certainly made huge inroads in terms of that. But Pilar, please, if you wouldn't mind fielding that question.
All right. Alan is right. What we do in the institutions, we usually have meetings for clinic sisters, all the clinic sisters in that area once a month. So we get a slot. You know, because these people present first at the clinics even before they come to hospitals. So we present to the clinic sisters, you know, to be careful with history taking, you know, at the clinic. So that now if this person has got some history of having what's in the mind, please refer to hospital. And when you refer to hospital, please don't send this person to OPD, because OPD is usually very busy and he won't know where to go, you know. So refer this person directly to the obstetrics and safety coordinator. Such that now the coordinator has got the forms in that office, and then the coordinator is the one who will literally walk with the person to X-ray and to the doctor and back, you know, because most of the time we're dealing with very old people and some are not very well, like physically. And then with we also with projects, we involve the counselors and we involve the chiefs.
especially now that because other miners are deceased long time ago, and then there are those affidavits and stuff, you know. But then we involved the chief, and then we also involved the councillors, you know, in placing. It's the clinic sisters, it's the councillors, and it's also the chief.
Okay. This benefit, what do you call it? The benefit medical examination, this routine, the benefit medical examination. Do you have cases that relate to mine records that you can count in your records?
We have been requesting that information because the way the procedure is done is that when the form has been filled and the FA has been done, and then the hospital concerned is the one that puts this to MPOD. So the procedure is like it starts and kind of ends in the hospital. It doesn't go through the provincial office. So we requested now the information from MPOD because we thought that because the forms are received by MPOD, they would have an accurate information in that regard. But then they said, you know, the kind of technology, the machine that they're using does not capture, you know, people by provinces. It only captures the names, you know. It is irrespective of where the F minor comes from. So by then they promised that it means therefore that they have to improve that system. Because now we have to request the coordinators to submit the names to the provincial office, you know, so that we can have an idea, you know. But then because it's a very rural, we find that the problem with sexes, you know, the sex has not been working for so long and stuff like that. Because otherwise we would be getting now the information from the coordinators to say that this month I had so many mine workers, you know, and so many have been compensated and so many, so that we can be able to intervene when there is a problem.
This decentralization of how we deal with this issue is one process. You know, I'm sure when we are together as the committee, we need to recommend one stop shop for this. All other related stakeholders should tunnel everything to that one stop shop. That is why Namazele would move from this corner to that corner to that corner. Yeah, because he gets a lead bit here and say, let me get another bit there. You know, we need to make that recommendation, or else remember. You were about to say something.
Just on that point, the honourable member brought up the information about TEBA. How does TEBA share information with ourselves? And certainly we couldn't have discussed it if I had that in front of TEBA. But I believe TEBA is a huge resource, and that information is not readily shared between TEBA, certainly not at provincial level, between them and us. Are yet being shared at national level between the NDRD and TEBA to a certain extent. But it touches on what you're saying to you as well, Chair, that the synergy between major role players like TEBA and ourselves on the ground has to be improved in that regard. Coming back to what Peter was saying in terms of record keeping, Chair, we must understand that the occupational health and safety coordinators at a hospital are normally professional nurses. We've got a huge shortage of professional nurses, so they do a whole lot of other activities other than occupational health. They do healthcare waste, they do they even sometimes get redeployed in terms of other sections of the hospital. So I'm not trying to defend the fact that we don't keep statistics and the stats don't come to the province. They go directly from the hospital to the NDRD. But we are pretty stretched at hospital level, as you can imagine, particularly in the Eastern Cape, particularly in the rural areas that we're talking about.
Okay. Don't be bamboozled by the acronym.
Yeah,
well, you wouldn't understand OPD
as a person who once worked in a hospital myself.
The PPOD.
Well, you refer to papers. Well, anything that you thought we would ask and we did not ask?
On the issue of system coordination, I think it is very important. It is also kind of person as us too, because there's labor, and then there's EBA, there's health, there's NUM, there's everything. Previously, I was of the opinion that our marriage with Teba would be on the court, I think, on the court. The reason why I didn't ask is because they mentioned it, and the second reason is that I haven't talked to Mr. Flanagan, because I used to move from Nomsumelelo Hospital, because when you have to take the labor history from an F mine worker, it takes very, very long, because these people were there, Gubadien Zamafala or something, you know, a very long time ago, 1962. And now that the person is old and not well, and he is so in the way they pronounce his mind, you know, you'd have to, you will make your octane harmony or something, you know. And then what were you doing, you know, and that is and all that, you know. So, and how long did you do that, you know, and he would not remember. So, I did try to engage with Teba when I started the service, that, you know, because I thought, okay, this part of the process would be easier. I would just go to Teba and get the records, you know. But then they said that, you know, they don't have any records, you know. On several occasions, they said that, well, at some stage they said that no, they only have records from 1996, because systems before they used manual systems, there were no computers, so they did not have the records. I was kind of discouraged, you know, by that, you know, and I think that is the first thing that we have to because the records are very important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you see that's where I get focused. I said, this way I got concerned, because Teba was the first one who recruited the people, and those records should be there. But there is a weakness in the system. Teba has become commercialized.
Mm.
Now you have to employ them to do this work. So it's not easy, it's not forthcoming, you see.
They go now.
Daniel, you say it's 1960s old. Hey, I'm Samisa. I wonder when you look at me now, you must be
I thought you were going to comment when I said I'm going to do it on head.
You did not deliver it. No, I was
telling you, did not.
You know, that is where the problem is,
Honorable Member.
That is where the problem is.
You remember when we said we wanted to have them by here, we thought that the main operative or operating office of Teba is in Eastern Cape. Yes, in other provinces. You cannot compare Eastern and Western Cape insofar as mine workers are concerned.
Yeah.
We don't. Yeah. In the Western Cape, we never had that outflow of mine workers. But in the Eastern Cape, that's where the problem is. We thought that Teba was going to assist us so far as records are concerned. Unfortunately, I'm sure there was a hierarchical kind of admonishment and all that. I'm carefully treading on that, because Flanagan is the one we were interacting with, and he was not brought in, because he was going to say there are no records. You see, and the CEO did not want to hear that. He did not want us to hear that, unfortunately. But it's for us to synthesize as the committee here. But it does not help the stakeholders to be coordinated in so far as dealing with this thing is concerned. That's why, you know, the lack of coordination that you are talking about, Mr. Khaledi, is feeding into the character of normal West. It suits him well that you are so disorganized. Now, he goes to this stakeholder and do chaos there and leave it and go to another one, and he knows that you are not as synergized as you are supposed to be. But it's something for us that that we need to look at.
You can't go and get the plane ticket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just to appease him, if he goes to Pretoria, they will say Ahman will give you a plane ticket and something, go home.
Yeah.
He will do that. He will hire luxury buses to Pretoria, and those buses will get paid. It's an unfortunate situation, but ours is to look at the case in overall, because there is a case here of ex-mine workers. There is a case. All we need to do is to look at how we deal with it. That is why we are inviting all these presentations and all that. But thank you very much for this presentation. Okay.
No. The second part of my question is not part of our belief. But I just want to say, the one of disability, this is not the answer, it's the other one. But the second one, I just want to ask you, is not part of our belief. What do you do with workers that were working in the sea, fishermen? What do you do about them? Because you find that most of them, when they retire from that, they become very sick because of the way that they were in. I just want to know. I'm in a committee on labor, you know, I'm interested sometimes in this. Just for me.
Our competency is to see to implementation of the Occupational and Safety Act, you know, in all health facilities in the Eastern Cape. So at the moment we are having about 97 hospitals and then about 725 clinics. And then the two managers at the provincial office at the moment, you know. So what we are saying is very true, because we are supposed to see to implementation of occupational health overall, you know, not yes, but because of the challenge around human resources, you know, then now we kind of concentrate on health facilities because there's too many of them. But then the way we have addressed that problem is that we have motivated for creation of posts, you know, in all facilities, you know, the clinic, hospital and everything, you know, so that now occupational health and safety can be for patient communities and everyone, you know, and that has already been approved. But then, I do not know whether I should put it as a recommendation, you know, that occupational health and safety on its own is a very huge program, you know, even without the ex-mine workers problems and stuff, you know. Now, at the provincial office, because I'm the only assistant manager, you know, at the moment, we have motivated that two additional assistant managers be employed. And then, so that the other one will be a project manager specifically for the S-Mine Workers program, so that at least we can have someone specific for the S-Mine Workers program, put it aside, so that now we can be able to function normally around occupational health and safety, you know, because at the moment we find that we have appointments with Department of Labor in as far as such employees are concerned, you know, because in any health issue we are supposed to be leading, you know, we can say to any more than any other department. So it brings us that now this is the people you have to be serviced by other departments who might need
you know, some health aspects, you know, around the whole thing, you know. But then we are hoping that when we get the other two officials, you know, and then we will be able now to start managing, you know, and resume the system and to resume things.
To briefly add, the Department of Labor, they're the custodian in terms of workplace outside of health institutions. Obviously, with health charity, you get to know that we take responsibility for that. But in terms of the fishing industry, Department of Labor would be the custodian in terms of that. If they picked up a case like that, there would be a referral. It should be a referral back to the Department of Health. We would then receive that particular patient and deal with it. But the actual work on terms of workplace health issues from an occupational health and safety point of view, that would typically be Department of Labor. But having said that, Chair, the fishing industry in the Eastern Cape is nothing like what it is in the Western Cape. We've got a bit of fishing in East London and a little bit more in PE, and for the rest, it's really the commercial fishing is nowhere near what it is in the Western Cape. Yeah. Maybe that's one of the reasons why it hasn't been brought to our attention in the Eastern Cape from the health implications in terms of fishermen.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, presenters. Thank you very much for the presentation. I think it brings us now to a close of discussion. And it's Friday. We're going back home, Anya, and the Lago Shevakai. I'm sure. I must repeat that thank you very much for having come to share the information you have on this. It means a lot to the community in terms of the security. Our responsibility. We always say to stakeholders that come to us that we are saying, or that we are sending you home, does not mean we cannot call you after an hour and say, come back and finish what you started. But I don't think it will be the case with you. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. Members, you will have to remain here so that we can take just 2 or 3 minutes. I will propose before, while our guests are leaving, I will propose a 3-minute leg stretch. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Sorry.
No, you were right. It's good that you dodged that meeting.
There is a very important meeting. The chief with a meeting. They are having a session.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very important. I heard it. This is more than... No, the truth is that Sabina, because
that resolves this problem.
It's a talk shop.
Yeah, it's a talk shop.
Yeah.
And,
exactly, you'll just say,
I check the agenda.
No, in August or in July, we need to suspend the business of parliament and all that. That's what you're going to discuss then.
But the problem, this is a very good
thing. Very, very interesting, I must say.
In our recommendation,
we have to be careful. They have to be careful.
There are other things that are very important for the
money, which is
they know that.
Look at
what I'm supposed to do.
Who are the people that
you
think here?
Exactly. They know. Then when the people of the company keep saying, they know.
You know,
they want to remain with medical
fund. That says they were given by Norman Zwelle about 108 names. They could only process
that is the strategy.
You know, if
they go to Teva, they give them 23 names, 123 names out of 12,000.
You know?
That's
no, man, it's really easy.
Yeah? Out of 12,000.
12,000.
Identified with IDs for them.
Yeah.
They give Teva 123 and they process that.
And last week, they were the last input that we got from the others, they said they couldn't trace the numbers because it was starting with zero.
There is a lot of number crunching.
He wants
to join his party.
I know what you
he's interested in that.
What is it? Is it a deputy youth commissioner? He's there. Or is it a provincial youth commissioner? What is it?
Even the CEO.
Is it?
The CEO of
Zobo Vest. Leadership is there.
Yeah, the leadership is there.
Members, I said we should remain here. I must say that I was worried in the two or three last meetings that the turnout was embarrassingly low, and I was worried about the seriousness of this business and how we should be taking it forward. What is left with us now is that we need to put all this information together, craft it in such a way that it be a recommendation to Parliament as to what direction are we proposing that government should be taking. That's how important it is. And it involves a lot of elements, Congress and friends, or let me say members. It involves a lot of elements. One of those, I would say key to those, is the transformation agenda that we need to infuse in our proposal. A transformation agenda, and also something that says, in terms of coordination, that there should be one point where everything is referred to. Not everybody, as it
it is the case. Not everybody should be dealing with this data. Because as you hear, everybody is pulling his piece. I know my only piece. This is my only corner. All those stakeholders, they need to turn it everything to one center, so that we can get to all these possible loopholes that we have identified here. I think that is the way we should craft our report and recommendation to Father. And it will involve, as I already said, it will involve a lot of labor issues, a lot of legal issues, and other issues, other related issues that we might think of. And it's something that we need to, our deadline is, what is it? Deadline is the 20th of this month. Of this month. And therefore, before the 20th, we must have recorded to Parliament. Before the 20th. So it practically means that we have got only a few days left. The life of the committee, we asked for an extension up to the 31st of March. But the program of Parliament
is also going for the 31st of March. The end of March.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the program of Parliament. It might be a constituency waiting from the 20th up to the 31st. And therefore, it means therefore that we must submit the findings of the committee before that time. That's why we're talking about the 20th. Stakeholders left that we thought of, I don't know whether it matters most so far as this is the information that we have is concerned. We're thinking of Fidentia. Remember we spoke about calling Fidentia so that we can check whether there is anything that was channeled to them. But listening to what Keba says now, there is a lot of other funds.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Now, will it be of good for the committee to invite some and not invite others? Or should we recommend that one-stop shop should also probe the other funds that we have heard of? It's something of that nature. And there is this enticing concluding words from Jeffers that say the chamber is the employer and it should carry the head. We've never been that emphatic to the chamber, if you remember. As a committee, we've not been emphatic that whether information got lost on the way, the fact of the matter is that those people were on the employ of the chamber. The chamber says to us it is a chamber and it's not responsible for individual mining houses. Yet they are affiliated to the chamber. We need to get to know legally. Are they right or not? Because they said it to us that no, we are a chamber. Yeah, we're just an umbrella of mine. We are the UDF of the mine.
Yeah.
Now we need to check whether legally they are right. And if they are not, then it will make our job a bit easier. So that is that. But for a few minutes, for 5 minutes, let us get the views of Congress so far as this is concerned. I think we're left with two meetings that we need to have now. Meetings of synthesizing, of this committee synthesizing the information that that we've had and turning it into a recommendation to the Parliament. Thank you very much, Comrade.
There are two things I want us to do, and that we can do through you, that the information that Comrade James said we must get from the chamber, that I think we can write them a letter and just tell them that we would need information on this and on this and that, and that please reply to us on such a day. And it's a very crucial thing that you are saying,
very
so that we can be able to get that information. That is the first thing. The second thing that we need to do is what you have already referred to. You see, these funds that are there, Teva says they have information. And through that information, they can trace everybody who is supposed to benefit. And yet, when you check, the people who have benefited are very few. We need really to come very clean there and say something about how that process should be taken further. Because these are our people who are sitting somewhere, they're not knowing that they can have that 150,000 we were discussing in the view here. Now, if that money is just packed there, and yet someone somewhere there is supposed to gain, it's so difficult. I wanted also to as we move along, I wanted to raise this matter I raised with them. Where people are not traceable, I just don't know the Parliament and government, we have reached an agreement. It appears that we have reached an agreement that if Sanlam, for instance, has got people which cannot trace, that money must remain there. My own feeling is that it must actually be declared to the state.
Exactly.
So that the development agenda, we can use it, because it's not money belonging to the company. It is the money belonging to the people of South Africa. And that's another area which I think we have to say something in order to...
And Tempo did not respond to your question.
Yes, they didn't respond.
They didn't respond when you said, will you see of the funds of whose beneficiaries you cannot trace?
They
just told
because they want to remain with the money to increase their cash flow. But having said that, I would not be around next week because I have to go to the Pan-African Parliament for that week only. Up until the 8th, I think it's the 8th, from the 5th to the 8th.
I'm not around. Also,
from the 5th to the 8th. After that, I would very much be around here. So I just wanted for you.
It's good that you reminded me also of that, because from the 8th. From Monday. Let me talk. From Monday to Friday, I won't be here.
At least I'm covered.
Yeah. Which one?
And the young lion may want to go. Let's make sure that he doesn't need to.
I think we must also remember our mandate,
what
we're doing here. So when we report, we mustn't complicate it too much.
Mm-hmm.
We can add other things on the recommendation.
Yeah.
And we needed another report from the Seagull 2005 report. Because I think that has a lot of information.
Yeah, from the chamber.
Seagull from the chamber.
From the chamber of mine.
Seagull.
I think we must ask them. One of them is Seagull.
And if we can.
Oh, yeah. That is what you were proposing, that we need to get that information.
And if we can get that as soon as possible so we can study it.
Yeah.
And yes, and that's the decision that we take, because that is very important, because that may help us to go forward.
Yeah.
And I think also the other recommendations about the Anglo-American and all these will be in our report to Parliament. And in Parliament, a recommendation that a body should be set up to investigate those. Because I don't think I think it will be proper and it will be legislation.
No, it's not.
And it will give it back, and they can act on it.
Okay. I was interested when you were saying we should keep within
our
think I totally agree. The secretary is saying on the 7th we're supposed to be meeting credentials, and I'm not yet. Can it's not finalized if there is a need.
But can't we change the date for you to be here?
Yeah.
It's a very important.
And we change it to the next.
We got time now. We can.
Can you be on a Monday afternoon? I know that you are in your constituency, but you are supposed to be coming back on Monday.
In the afternoon.
Monday afternoon. More or less what time?
Which day?
Monday is the
10th.
And then on Friday we have a meeting of looking into this, and I'm sure it will be possible. On the basis of the discussion we have, if the secretary, our legal advisor, and myself can put something together. So that when we come here, we take it from there.
No, Chairperson, I think I will be excused that we are having a study group here on the 10th.
On minerals. Okay. I get worried when you are not there. Because it becomes a rugby team. But members, understanding how difficult Friday is, I must thank you very much for having made it today. But please, for these two or three crucial meetings, we need your brains, members. Please. Because you always late for the morning. Try to be punctual and try to be here. You know?
You must learn the trade while you can.
Exactly. Members, thank you very much. The business of the committee stands at hand.
I'm like,
theoretically a lot of
I don't know.
Parliamentary. What is it?
I don't know.
PMG.
Oh, yeah.